Gospel of John, chapter 10. We're not going to go verse by verse, but I'm going to quickly give you kind of the context of this chapter. It is the chapter that is most known for the Good Shepherd. But in this chapter, it shows us a thief that steals and kills and destroys the sheep. So we'll look at verse 1 and verse 10 with me, chapter 10 and verse 1 and 10. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. Look at verse 10. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. So the chapter shows us the thief that steals and kills and destroys the sheep. It shows us a hireling shepherd who abandons the sheep and their moments of greatest need. Look at verses 12 and 13. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. The Bible also shows us in this chapter those who are sheep, but they're not the Lord's sheep. Jesus said in verse 26, if you look at that, he said, but ye believe me not, talking to the unbelieving Jews, but ye believe me not because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. So there were sheep in this story who were not the Lord's sheep. But this chapter also shows to us the Good Shepherd. And we read something critical about the Good Shepherd in verse number 11, where Jesus said, I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. What a contrast we have between the hireling who careth not for the sheep and abandons them, and the Good Shepherd that intentionally gives his life for the sheep. But we come now to the text verse in verse 27 of John 10 tonight, or this morning, and I want you to notice that, John 10, 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Would you read the verse aloud with me one time as you're seated there, John 10, 27, ready? My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I want to talk this morning about having a heart for your shepherd, having a heart for your shepherd. You see, the reality is that sheep are the simplest animals in the world, but they also have they're superior in their loyalty to the shepherd. And because the shepherd, my shepherd, has a heart for his sheep, this sheep has a heart for his shepherd. And I want you to see today how that heart for your shepherd should be demonstrated according to this passage of scripture, and particularly this verse, verse number 27. Now, Lord, would you help us this morning? Open our hearts to hear the voice of our shepherd. Help us to have a heart for the Lord Jesus as he's had a heart for us. And then, Father, I think of the possibility that there could be some in this room today on whose ears these words would fall without making a difference, because they do not hear my shepherd's voice, because they are not his sheep. Lord, I pray today that you would plant in the heart of any man or woman in this room who knows not Christ the desire to have a shepherd like the Lord Jesus. And Father, as we lift up Jesus, we pray that Jesus would draw them to himself so that they too could hear the shepherd's voice and have a heart for a shepherd who has a heart for them. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. When I was a youngster, we had cats in our home. Now, there's a reason why I'm not fond of cats today. I tried them once and they don't taste good at all. No, I'm just teasing. But when I grew up, I loved cats. I really did. I loved cats. And I had a cat named Esther, all right, named it after a Bible character. She was kind of really my real cat. But we had another cat we got just before Esther, and he was an old tomcat. And when he showed up, he had a big old gash out of the side of his head, you know, and he was the tough cat, you know, the alley cat. But we took him into our home. I'll never forget one day, we kept him up inside, and he wasn't used to being inside, and watching him one day walk on the door. He had literally somehow gotten up above the door and was standing on the door frame above, walking the door frame. He was going, talk about stir crazy, he was going stir crazy. Now, that particular cat, we gave a name to, I'm confident, no other cat in the world has ever been named what I named this cat before. I grew up listening to an old-timey preacher named Lester Roloff. And Lester Roloff, he was a fighter. He fought the state of Texas when they tried to force his church to take a license to run its ministries. He fought and went all the way to the Supreme Court, spent 5 days in the Nueces County Jail because he refused to take a license for what God had called him to do. Amen. That was wonderful. He was a fighter. And so when this old fighting cat showed up, I named it Roloff. That cat's name was Roloff. And Roloff lived with us for quite some time, and he disappeared after we had him a number of years. Not sure what happened to Roloff. But Roloff eventually became an indoor cat. And when Roloff was sick, and he did have some problems, and I remember one time he had something caught in his eye, and his poor little eyeball swole up to like the size of a clown marble poking out of his head. I mean, it was one of those big marbles, just poking right out of his head, and it was blood red. It was awful. And my dad kind of had a little bit of an attitude toward cats then, like I have toward cats now. Now, I'm not in favor of abusing any animal, but we had some problems where Dad had kind of had some run-ins with that cat. We used to take, now I know this is going to sound gross, and it's going to sound like I grew up in Alabama or something, but we used to take hot dog weenies, okay? And we'd heat them up in the microwave, and we'd roll them across the linoleum floor in the kitchen. I know, you're cringing, aren't you? Okay. We would roll them across the linoleum floor. I already told you we had cats in the house. Okay, it can't be much worse. But anyway, we rolled those hot dogs around the linoleum floor, and they would run after those things and try to bite it, and because it was a little warm, I mean, they weren't scorching hot, it kind of startled them, and he'd slap it, and then it'd take off across the floor again, and he'd run and chase it, and he'd grab it. Just instinctively, every time it took off, he'd run and grab it again, and so we had lots of fun with our cats. My dad one day was sitting at the table, and he wore these little house slippers that were just vinyl. They had these two little vinyl straps over the feet, so they were kind of like sandals, and his toes were sticking out. We were sitting at dinner, and, a toe can look an awful lot like a weenie. And so that's the first time I saw a cat sail across the dining room toward the kitchen. Generally speaking, Roloff stayed away from my daddy because my dad, he had been rough with him a few times. But when my cat was sick, my cat would come up and lay down in my daddy's lap and lay his head down. He would have ear mites, or he'd have that problem with the eye, and he'd have to have drops. And he would lay so comfortably in my dad's lap because he knew when he was sick that there was somebody in the house that cared about him and would take care of him. Now, you perhaps have had pets before that are like that, that when they're not feeling well, they're very comfortable in your care. And there seems to be a trust there that they have with you for their life. The sheep would do that with the shepherd too. And if we have the kind of heart that we ought to have for the Lord Jesus, or if we see the kind of heart that he has for us, then we're going to be willing to rest in his care. But what kind of heart should we have? Let's see the manifestation of the right heart toward our shepherd, the one who has a heart for us. First of all, I want you to consider with me this morning the heart attitude that is necessary in this relationship of the good shepherd and the sheep. And everything I'm going to say this morning comes from verse 27. Verse 27 begins, "My sheep hear my voice." If you want to know what kind of heart attitude we ought to have for the Lord Jesus, it ought to be one that says, "I need to hear my shepherd's voice." There have been times before in ministry where things have come to my attention or happened to me that have been very, very disturbing to me. And I have found that taking walks is a good thing. I don't do a lot of walking. If you ever see me walking, something bad's happened. And but when something disturbs me, I like to get alone with the Lord. And if I stay in one place very long, I don't stay alone. You know what I'm saying? People tend to find me. So I like to walk when I need to talk to the Lord and when I'm troubled about things. But you know what really that is all about is I just need some time with my shepherd. Because nobody, no matter what's hurt me, no matter what's going on in life, no matter what I'm fearing, no matter what worry I have, I find I can go lay down in the lap of my shepherd and he cares about me. And I need to hear from him. And then I can open his word. Do you do this? Do you open God's word when your heart is hurting? When you have a need and you don't know what to do about it and you go to the scripture and you open it up and you just begin to read. I'm not talking about playing Russian roulette and just, dropping the Bible open to see. But you just go pick it up and just begin to read until God speaks to you. Have you discovered what I have, which is I don't have to read very far before I find out I'm exactly where I need to be and my shepherd is speaking to me? Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice." That's the heart attitude that we ought to have. No one gets to be one of Jesus' sheep without first willingly hearing him. Paul wrote to the Romans, the church at Rome, in Romans chapter 10, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him in whom they have not heard, of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Have you ever found yourself in a place of doubt before where you wanted to believe God, but you just were worried so much and not sure that things were going to turn out okay? And you found yourself doubting. You know what'll help you? Hear the Lord speak to you. Listen. The problem is, the reason we doubt so much is we listen to everything else. We listen to the criticisms. We listen to the skeptics. We listen to the problems. How many of you like to study your problems? Now, come on, be honest. Don't you like to study your problems? When I've got a problem, I want to understand everything about it. I want to break it down into its principal parts, and I want to study. I want to measure it. I want to figure it all out. I go meditate on that problem. You know, there's nothing in Scripture that tells us to meditate on our problems. But you know what the Bible does tell us? We ought to meditate on His Word. Why? Because we need to hear the voice of the shepherd. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If I'm even going to have a relationship with the Lord, I've got to be willing to give a hearing to what God has said. That's where that relationship begins. Do you get that? I mean, how important is hearing the shepherd? We can't even have a relationship with Him until we hear Him. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We've got to be willing to give Him a hearing in order to even come into that relationship and have Him as our good shepherd. The Gospel of John chapter 5 verse 38 says, "Ye have not His word abiding in you, for whom He hath sent, him ye believed not." What was the issue that He took with him? He said, you don't have My word abiding in you. My word's been offered to you, and if you're going to have faith in Me, it's got to begin with hearing, and if you're not willing to hear Me, you don't have My word abiding in you. You can't be any part. You can't have any part with Me. That word that I just read to you from John 5:38 would apply very well to the Jews that Jesus spoke of here in John chapter 10 and verse 26, where He said, "Ye believe Me not, because ye are not of My sheep, as I said unto you." If we reject His word, we reject Him. If we reject Him, He cannot be our shepherd. No one gets to be one of Jesus' sheep without first willingly hearing Him. But also, no sheep is nourished and protected that refuses the shepherd's voice. No sheep is nourished and protected that refuses the shepherd's voice. Clearly, a Christian can refuse the shepherd's voice. Did you know that? You can do it. You can go your own way. You ever done it before? Or do we need a time of confession? I think probably we've all done that before. You ever had the Holy Spirit just gnawing on you about something? You knew you ought to do something, you shouldn't do something, and you just kind of ignored that. There have been times as pastor where I've noticed. Now, don't think if you've ever been gone and I haven't called you that I went through this, but there have been times that I've noticed someone missing. And I thought, well, that's a little odd. I'll wait and see if they're missing one more week. And, you know, because a lot of times if you're a Sunday morning attender, then I won't call you because you miss one Sunday. But when you break out of that pattern, you've missed a couple Sundays. Generally speaking, I'll try to contact you. I want to do that. If you're Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and you only miss one service, I wouldn't be too concerned about that. If you miss an entire week of service plus one, then I'd be concerned about that because you've kind of broken out of your pattern. But there have been times where, in spite of all that pattern stuff, the Lord just brought somebody to my mind. And there have been times where I've called and found out exactly why the Lord brought that person to my mind. And the Lord was speaking to me. I needed to listen. I regret to tell you there have been times that I thought, No. I'm sure they're just on vacation. I don't want to bother them. And I pushed aside, and I wish later I had called and dealt with what needed to be dealt with and talked to the person. I need to listen to the Holy Spirit. There have been times where I've tried to convince myself before that there's nothing wrong with this. How many of you have ever told yourself before when you're thinking about doing something, there's nothing wrong with this? A lot of good Christians do this. There's nothing wrong with this. May I tell you, that is never a good foundation to a Christian's philosophy. There is nothing wrong with that. In fact, I'll tell you, a long time ago, I quit living looking for rules to tell me everything that was wrong so that I could know what I could do. And what I've done instead is I look to God's word, and I continue to do this, and I don't do it perfectly, but I want to do it better. I want to look to God's word, hear the voice of my shepherd, and look for the precedent for things that I ought to be doing. I want to be led by His voice. You've seen the picture before, haven't you? The artist's conception of the Good Shepherd. I'm not fond of artist conceptions of Jesus, but I think what's conveyed in this picture basically is a good thing, even though he does look like a long-haired European man, which I'm quite sure Jesus didn't look like that. But you see the Good Shepherd walking down a road. Have you seen this picture before? Where are the sheep? He's out, they're out in front, and he's driving them, right? No, they're behind him, and they're just following him. Why? Because he's speaking to them. And a good shepherd and sheep relationship, the sheep knows that if they'll just follow that shepherd's voice, then everything's going to be taken care of. We talked a little bit in RU on Sunday evening, or excuse me, Wednesday, Friday evening about this, but Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. Anything other than still waters would have spooked the sheep. They wouldn't get the hydration they need because the rushing water would have frightened them. Anything other than green pastures would have prevented them from sleeping because a lot of animals will not sleep somewhere where they don't know where their next meal is going to be. Instinctively, they want to keep searching for that next meal, but they can sleep in a green pasture because they know the moment they wake up, there the provision is there for them again. But what's the greatest comfort to a shepherd, or to a sheep? It's his shepherd. Because wherever that shepherd is, as long as I follow the shepherd's voice, I'm going to have the provision that I need. But no sheep is nourished and protected that refuses the shepherd's voice. Yet a Christian can refuse the shepherd's voice. That's why we have verses like 1 John 1:9. If I confess my sin, he is faithful and just to forgive me of my sin and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I know I personalized that when I read it rather than quoting it precisely, but 1 John 1:9 tells me that there is a need for confession because there are things that I do that are not right. But you know, my shepherd is always willing to forgive me. He never says, nope, that was the 490th time. And why 490? Because Jesus told Peter to forgive 70 times 7, right? Jesus wasn't telling Peter to get out his calculator or get out his journal so he could keep track of all the times he was forgiven. Jesus was saying to Peter, stop counting and just forgive. And that's the way our Lord forgives. And so if we listen to his voice, great, we'll be nourished. If we fail to listen to his voice and we refuse his voice, but when the Holy Spirit convicts us, we turn back to him and we confess that he will forgive us. And I say this, this is wonderful. If you're here today and you have refused the Lord's voice and it seems like he is in the distance right now, or you're distanced from him and you're not hearing from him like you want to hear from him when you open the Bible, you feel like you're not getting anything out of it, you feel like he's not answering your prayers, you're not as close to him as you used to be. Here's the wonderful thing. Even though you once refused his voice and you were no longer nourished by him like you needed to be, you can be in good fellowship with him again, and you can hear his voice again. No matter how distant it may seem today, he loves you, he's pursuing you, even through his word that we're looking at today, and you can hear his voice again, the voice of your shepherd. Such refusal is not out of the ordinary, and it's contrary to the well-being of the sheep. In John 8, 31 and 32, where we were just a few weeks ago, we read that then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, do you hear that? The word. It's not, we're not just saved by receiving the words of Jesus, but if we continue in his word, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free, or make you free. And so we need to continue in that. No sheep is nourished and protected that refuses the shepherd's voice, but a healthy Christian heeds the Savior's word. John 10:4 says, when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. He puts forth his sheep. The idea is that he brings them out of the fold. In these Middle Eastern folds of Bible times, we understand that it was not uncommon to have enclosures. The enclosure would be the fold, okay, where you enfold them. The flock would have been the animals themselves traveling together, as we would say, in herds with other animals. But you would have the fold, and it wasn't uncommon that you would have many shepherds bring their sheep into the same fold at night. When they're out in the field, you might share a fold. Here we're not told whether the fold is shared or not, but we have the picture of Jesus being the door. And so there would have been a fenced area and an opening on which no door hung with hinges. It was nothing like that. But there was an opening, and so the shepherd would stand, or the porter would stand there, and as the sheep entered in, he would look them over. And if there were any wounds, any injuries, for instance, in Psalm 23, the Bible says in that shepherd's psalm, it says, he anointeth my head with oil. You know, sheep, they don't have hands where they can reach up and slap a fly away. Sometimes they get irritated with the insects and the bugs that bother them, and they'll bang their heads into things. In fact, right, don't bend over around a sheep, right? You might be one of those things that gets banged into. They're constantly butting their heads up against things. But when they would come into the fold at night, if there were wounds anywhere on that sheep that needed to be addressed, then the shepherd, the good shepherd, would anoint that head and anoint that wound with oil and then let them into the fold. But when Jesus said, "I am the door of the sheep," there were two things being communicated by that. Number one, the sheep can't get into the fold except they pass through the shepherd, because the shepherd stands there in that opening. But secondly, there is a protecting element that's found there. There was no gate, there was no door that hung upon hinges, but at nighttime when the sheep are within the fold and they were protected there, there was only one way those who would want to molest the sheep could get in, and it would be through that doorway. And so the shepherd would lay down in the doorway. And the only way you could get in to harm the sheep was passing through the shepherd. What a great picture of our salvation and our security in Christ. That if we have come into the fold of Christ, if we have received His words, followed His words, come into relationship with Him, that we enter into that fold, and He Himself is the door, and no one can harm us spiritually except they would come through Him. The Lord Jesus Christ, He's the door. Our heart attitude towards someone like that should be, I want to receive everything He has to say for me. I want to follow Him to the ends of the earth and even beyond that. Amen. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 14 says, I have written unto you fathers because ye have known Him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you young men because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you. You want to know what a strong Christian looks like? You want to know the resume of a, do you want to be a strong Christian? It's about the Word of God abiding in you. There is no such thing as a strong Christian who doesn't read his Bible. There is no such thing as a strong Christian who does not have the Word of God abiding in him and influencing how he lives out the life that God has entrusted to him as a stewardship. We need the Word of God abiding in us. And then he says after that, you have the Word of God abiding in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. How many of you would like to know how to overcome the wicked one? That's Satan. It does not happen without the Word of God abiding in you. If you turn from the voice of your shepherd, I don't care where you turn, if you turn from the voice of your shepherd, you are turning into danger. How many of you understand sheep don't have any way to defend themselves? They can't pick up a rifle and shoot it. They can't draw a bow and shoot an arrow. They can't grab out a sword and swing it. There's nothing that they are sheep for the slaughter. And there's only one place of safety for them, and it's with the shepherd. I don't care how smart you are. I don't care how rich you are. I don't care how talented you are. If you are a Christian and you are drawing away from the voice of your shepherd, you are drawing into a place of danger. If you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as your personal Savior, you do not know for sure that your sins are forgiven and you're on your way to heaven. If you draw away from the words of the Lord Jesus to you, you are drawing away to a place of danger. There is no other way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If it is not through Jesus, you will not be okay. So listen to the voice of the shepherd who loves you, who cares for you. Did you know that sheep discern between the voice of the shepherd and the voice of hirelings, thieves, and robbers? Sheep discern between the voices. You know, it's amazing to me just instinctively the recognition that God gives His creatures and even human beings for voices. When Karis, who was our firstborn, was born, of course, she had gone to church 9 months before she was born. And when we were in the hospital with her the day after she was born, Sherry was holding her, and into the room walked our pastor, Mark Monty. And he has a memorable voice, and he doesn't know how to be quiet. And so he walked into the room and just loudly said, well, hello, you know. And when he did, Karis, this newborn, a day old, in her mother's arm, who was really only interested in anything at the time that had to do with eating, she turned her head, stretched her neck, and looked back to where that voice was coming. I'm just telling you, 3 times a week for 9 months, she'd heard that voice. And she recognized that voice. When I think about that, I think that's the kind of response I want to the Lord's voice. I may be involved in something else that interests me, like eating, or recreation, or watching television, or football, or you know, there may be a number of things that I'm interested in,
But boy, the Lord wants to speak to me. And when my Lord wants to speak to me, I want to be one who's turning my head to hear, because I want to have a heart attitude that wants to hear the voice of my shepherd. That's necessary in my relationship with him. And I don't want these robbers and these thieves of my time and my relationship to be the ones that appeal to my ears. I want it to be the voice of my shepherd. So if I'm going to have a heart for the shepherd, I've got to have a heart attitude that's necessary. The attitude that's expressed in the words, "My sheep hear my voice." I want to have a heart to hear him. But secondly, this morning, I want you to see the heart assurance that's found in this relationship. Find the heart assurance that's found in this relationship. He said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them." We sometimes ask the question, when I'm preaching the gospel, I'll say, "Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your personal Savior?" That is important to do. But I want to tell you, as a Christian who has been a Christian and been walking with the Lord, I trusted Christ as my personal Savior over 40 years ago, which I know that's not a long time for some of you, but for some of you it is a long time. Over 40 years ago, I trusted Christ as a little six-year-old boy. I want to tell you that there have been some times in my life, especially in my childhood, where I had doubts concerning my place in the family of God. I was fearful. I remember a time when I expressed it this way, and I think my parents would agree that it was because we had allowed some things in our home that Satan was using to create fear where there should not have been fear. But I remember one time saying to my mother, several years after I had trusted Christ as my Savior, "I'm just afraid the devil is going to get me." That's the way I expressed it as a child. "I'm just afraid the devil is going to get me." And I want to tell you what it was that gave me an assurance that I was his and he was mine, and that the devil wasn't going to get me. In fact, he hasn't got a chance at getting me. Do you know what it was that assured me that that was the case? It was the voice of my shepherd. I found assurance in my relationship with someone who loves me and cares for me, has a heart for me, the shepherd. You can have a heart assurance found in this relationship, because even if at times your knowledge of him is a little shaky, if you've come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, he knows his own. Sometimes Christians doubt their security in Christ because they've committed sin since they trusted Christ as Savior. But may I tell you, all of your sins were in the future when Christ purchased your salvation. You say, "Well, yeah, but when he saved me, he didn't know I was going to turn around and do this." Listen, before he offered you salvation and paid for your salvation, he knew all of your sin. And he knows the ones you haven't even committed yet. And your salvation doesn't have any, the meriting of your salvation doesn't have anything to do with your meritorious work. It has to do with his work that he did at Calvary when he took the punishment for all of your sin. And you can be assured in that you have come to know him and he knows his own sheep. Jesus knew that you would sin again, even before he saved you. In this passage, there's some great statements, I believe, that would help us with the matter of eternal life and assurance that we have it. If you look at verse 27 and the few verses that follow, look at them with me. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish." He didn't say they shall never perish, or they won't perish unless they sin again. In fact, some people believe that you can trust Christ as your Savior and be on your way to heaven, but then mess up and lose your salvation. Did you know some people believe that? You know, the Bible doesn't teach that. In fact, it teaches the opposite. In fact, what is it that God gives when someone comes to Christ? What are they given? They are given eternal life, and they shall what? Never perish. Do you understand that if Jesus took salvation back from someone that he saved, this verse would not be true? It can't be that they would never perish, but now they will. No, he said they will never perish. Furthermore, he said of those who will be cast into eternal fire, he said, "I will say unto them, depart from me, I never knew you." Now, which is it? You know, are you one to whom Jesus will say, "I never knew you"? Are you one because you've placed your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ to whom he will say, "You shall never perish"? And we talk sometimes about the word eternal. What is eternal life? We use the word eternal like we sometimes use the word permanent. You know, that we say, "Well, I'm going to go get a permanent in my hair so I don't have to curl it." It lasts for a few months, but as your hair grows out, you have to go back and get another one, right? Why? Because really, it's not permanent. It's a temporary. And that's what you should say. You should call your hair care professional and say, "I need to come in for a temporary," and see what they will say. Now look, we may use words loosely like that, but God does not. When he says that we have eternal life, it is eternal. It's not eternal until we mess up and then he takes it back from us. It's eternal forever. You say, well, I think our eternal life, we don't get until we die. And so we trust Christ as our Savior in prospect of eternal life. And once we die, then we're given eternal life. No. That's not what the scripture says. The Bible says that we believe on him, we have, present tense, right now, we have eternal life. It's a present possession. You say, yeah, but your body's going to die. Well, yeah, that's going to happen. But you know, my body isn't all me. Now, I'm not saying it's somebody else, but I'm just saying it's not. There's more to me than my body. When I die, it's going to be like walking out of one room into another and crossing over a threshold. It's not that I'm going to have to die and then finally I get eternal life. No, I have eternal life now. God has made alive my spirit through the presence of the Spirit of Christ in my life because I've come to depend upon Christ. I have experienced regeneration, new birth. I am alive in Christ. And yes, this body lives under the effects of sin and this body will corrupt and die and go in the ground one day unless the Lord comes back for his church in the rapture. And I'd much rather see the uppertaker than the undertaker. But one of these days, this body may die and be laid in the ground, but God has a new body for me, but the life that I have been given in Christ is a life that continues. It's an eternal life. I'll never die. I have that assurance. Why? Because I am his and he knows I am his. And he's made promises to me. John 10:14 said, I am the good shepherd and I know my sheep and am known of mine. 1 Thessalonians 1:5, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. Our gospel came in power. 1 John 2:1-3, part of that says, and hereby we do, and hereby we do know that we know him. The two words know there, K-N-O-W, both of them, but they're referring to different things. The meaning of the word is the same, but they're referring to different things. What it means to know that you know him is different than what it means to know him. What does it mean to know him? Well, to know him means you've heard his voice, you've received his word, you've believed on the Lord Jesus, you've become a part of the family of God, you have a personal relationship with him to know him. Like I know Sherry Falls, she's my wife. All right, we know each other intimately, we know each other. But when we talk about, when I say I know that I know her, what am I saying? I'm saying I've got some confidence about it. I got some assurance about it. I was there. I was there on June 1st. Now, wait a minute. That's not my anniversary date. You'll be impressed, all right? I was there on May 9th, 1998, when I said, hey, would you like to be my steady girlfriend? I was there for the first time on June 1st, 1998, when I said, I love you for the first time. And she hesitated for a moment and then said, I love you. Whew, okay. And I was there on June 1st, 1999, a year later at a Bear Creek Lake State Park, I think it was, in Dilwyn, Virginia, the geographic center of the state of Virginia, where I got down on one knee and I pulled out a ring and I asked her to marry me. And she said, yes. You say, are you sure that she's your wife? Yes. I remember when she promised to be my wife. And now, what you thought I was messed up on earlier, I remember on August the 12th, 2000, we did it in 2000, so I'll always know how many years I was married. August the 12th, 2000 in Rawson Chapel in Pensacola, Florida, which is also now called Mullinex Chapel, standing there at the altar next to Pastor Shetler, Pastor Jim Shetler, when the back doors of the auditorium opened and in came my wife on the arm of my father-in-law, and my wife-to-be, and she started down the aisle, and I'll never forget Jim Shetler putting his hand on my back and giving me a little shove and said, go get her, boy. And I did, and she's mine. You ask me if I know for sure. I know I'm married to her. She's mine. We've been together for 21 years. It will be 21 years this coming. No, it is 21 years. It will be 22 years this coming August. I just can't do math. I know the dates, okay? And I know she's mine. I don't just know her, but I know her. I have that assurance. And God intends that we would know, that we would have confidence. But that confidence does not come in what we do, but it comes in what he has said. If we believe on him, he knows that we are his, and he promises we will never perish. So we need to have a heart for the shepherd that has a heart for us. It involves that heart attitude. My sheep hear my voice. It involves a heart assurance because Jesus says, I know them. And then finally this morning, I do want to say to you, it does involve a heart action. Now, I'm not talking about something that you must do in order to be a part of His fold. I'm not talking about a way that you must merit the blessing of being a part of His family. I am simply saying to you that if you come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, then God's design is that you would be in different places, that you would do different things, that you would live differently than you lived before because you are receiving the word of your shepherd. And there should be an evidence, a heart action that comes from this relationship. My sheep hear my voice and I know them. And what's the next part? And they follow me. Are you following the Lord Jesus Christ? Just as sheep may ignore the shepherd's voice, they may stray from the shepherd's leading. And if he does so, that sheep, it's to his own detriment. The sheep know by faith that they will find provision and protection in the shepherd's leading. And so they follow him. Now, sometimes a sheep will stray. You're familiar, of course, with Jesus' parable about the 90 and 9 in the Gospel of Luke. And we see there a shepherd who had 100 sheep, and one of them went astray. And Jesus left the 100 together and went out and got the one sheep that had strayed. It may be this morning that there's been a time in your life where you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you've believed the good word of God about what Jesus has done for you, you've depended upon Christ, you've entered into that sheepfold, you've entered into the family of God, the Lord Jesus is your good shepherd, but you know in your heart that over time you have strayed. Your shepherd still loves you. In fact, I would say to you this morning that the very fact that you're hearing these words is evidence that your shepherd is pursuing you. He's coming after you. He's not leaving you out there in the waste howling wilderness. He's coming for you. Will you hear his voice? I remember when I was a child, I can't remember my exact age, I would say probably around 5 years old, but I grew up in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, if you can't tell. And they opened the University Mall. And it was a grand opening, and people were just shoulders to shoulders, and which isn't, you know, generally a problem. I mean, if you're an adult. But I said I was 5 or 6 years old, so I was rather diminutive. I was short, you know. And somehow I got separated from my mother. And I did what 5 and 6 year old boys do when they get separated from their mother. I cried. And pretty soon somebody saw that I was crying and they took me to the information desk. You remember when malls used to have information desks? Okay, they took me to the information desk. And they called out over the loudspeaker. They asked me what my mother's name and I told them, and they called out over the loudspeaker for my mother. But I can still remember. Do you have vivid memories from your childhood? I can still remember the anxiety of looking around. Of course, I'm staring at everyone's, you know, pants pockets because of my height. You know, our handbags or whatever. I'm staring at people, and I can't even see out of the crowd that I'm in, but I feel unsafe because I'm calling my mother and I can't hear my mother. My mother used to have a keychain that was a calendar, and it was like brass, and it would make lots. My mother's keys made a certain noise. And sometimes if I ever got separated from her in a store, I could tell where she was by the sound of her keys. But I couldn't hear my mother's keys. I couldn't hear my mother's voice, and I began to cry. They put out this announcement on the speaker, and I remember when my mother showed up at the information desk. And all of that anxiety, all of that fear, all of that emotion that I was experiencing melted away because now I was with my mother again. Some of you this morning have all kinds of problems in your life that are connected directly to the fact that you have strayed from your shepherd. But this morning, you're hearing his voice. And those problems, I'm not saying every problem in life, but many of those problems that you've dealt with because you've strayed can melt away in the presence of your shepherd. If in hearing this voice this morning, you'll confess to him, Lord, I've strayed. Lord, I've sinned. I need to be clean. I need to get things right with you. I want to hear your voice again, and I want to hear it every day, and I want to be sensitive to it, and I want to follow you because I know you have the words of eternal life. To whom else could I go? If you'll turn back to the voice of your shepherd this morning, you can find yourself safely in his fold again. You haven't lost your salvation, because he doesn't take your salvation away from you, but you've run into a lot of problems because you've run from the safety of his voice. Would you come back to the shepherd this morning? Some of you, that's how the Lord is speaking to you this morning. But there may be someone this morning who says, you know, Pastor, if I understand this picture of the shepherd and the sheep, the good shepherd and the sheep, that sounds wonderful. To just be able to hear from somebody who tells you where you ought to go, who provides for you, who takes care of you, someone you can have confidence in, someone who never forsakes you, someone who comes after you when you're in a bad way. That sounds wonderful, but I don't have that kind of relationship with God. You can. Because Jesus is speaking to you this morning through his word. I quoted early in the message, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That is, someone whose heart is dependent upon Christ and what he did. You see, we're sinners marked for judgment, but Jesus took our judgment at Calvary. That same passage, John 10, that I just quoted, begins in verse 9, "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart," we're talking about the heart this morning, "and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto salvation." That's how you get saved. That's how you get born again. That's how you are regenerated in Christ. You have a new life. "For with the heart man believeth unto salvation, and with the mouth confession," excuse me, "the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." If this morning you would believe the word of God that he has given about salvation being available in his son, then today you could leave the waste-howling wilderness of this world and enter into the family of God, where you have a good shepherd who has a heart for you, and you'll have a heart for him.